You have your Bibles this morning. Would you turn with us to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter number 2, the book of 2 Timothy, chapter number 2. Heard about a little boy. He went to Sunday school. I believe he was about 9 years old. His name was Joey. He went to Sunday school and learned his Sunday school lesson that day, or heard his teacher teach the Sunday school lesson. And he came upstairs from Sunday school class and sat down with his mom. His mom said, "Did you have a good lesson this morning?" He said, "Yes, I did, Mom. I quite enjoyed it this morning." So after church was over, they were going out to eat. And she said, "Well, Joey, what did you learn in Sunday school this morning that made you quite enjoy your Sunday school lesson?" She said, "I learned about how God sent Moses behind enemy lines to deliver the Israelites out of Egypt." Said when he came to the Red Sea there, he had his army build a pontoon bridge and all the people walked across safely. And then he called for reinforcements and the Israelis took their bombers and blew up the bridge, and Egypt couldn't cross over. His mom said, "Is that really the way you learned that story in Sunday school class?" And he said, "No, Mom, but if I told you the way she told it to us, you wouldn't believe it either." I'm glad God can do the impossible, aren't you? God can do the impossible. All right, if you'd stand with us this morning, 2 Timothy chapter 2, I want to read these first 7 verses. "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things." This morning, we want to look in these 7 verses and think on this thought: a good soldier, a good soldier. Father, we thank you that you've allowed us to have a copy of the Word of God, infallible and inerrant and entire. We thank you for it. We pray, God, now this morning, that as we hold this in our hands, that, Lord, you'd help us to preach from it, preach precepts and truths as only the Spirit of God can declare unto us. And Lord, we pray, God, that you'd help us physically, you'd give us strength, and I pray, God, you'd establish us spiritually, Lord, that we would preach in the power and in the demonstration of the Holy Spirit of God. And I pray, God, you'd give us a spirit this morning to understand, to hear what the Spirit has to say unto the church, that we might grow thereby, and that we might worship you thereby, and that we might learn more from a mighty God in how we can serve you in a greater capacity. Lord, I pray today for all these that have come this way, that you'd help us today, for it's in Christ's name we pray and ask. Amen. 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 You may be seated. Being Veterans Day this last week, I wonder how many veterans we have here today. If you would stand to your feet. I know we have some veterans here today. Amen. Amen. God bless you, gentlemen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank God for them. So as we were preparing, we began to think about it being Veterans Day. I want to make 4 or 5 points this morning. They'll all, Lord willing, begin with the letter C, if he'll help me today. I want us, first of all, from these verses to point number 1, I want us to consider some things. Verse number 7 said, "Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things." I want us to consider some physical properties and then compare them to some spiritual properties this morning. Understand that when a man or woman, when they join the service, secularly speaking, they join on a volunteer basis. They come and volunteer their service. They enlist themselves in one of the branches of the service of the United States of America. Or, used to, years ago, they would draft them. And still today, I believe when a young man gets 18 years old, he still has to go down and register for the draft. I don't know whether you like that or not, but I think it's just absolutely fine, amen, that one would be willing to serve their country. And years ago, you could enter the service via the draft, and there were draft dodgers that would run off and try to escape the draft. But spiritually speaking then, each person God has allowed to hear the gospel, and He has chosen them for His service. However many of them may dodge His draft. Amen. They may reject His calling upon His life. And He does give them the free will to make their own decision whether they will choose to enlist in the Lord's army and serve Him, or whether they will dodge His call and do something else and other in their life. Amen. And I got to thinking about how a military man, he may spend a lifetime in service, but may one day retire with a few benefits. Or you may choose to serve your country for just a few years and never maybe be called back into active duty again. But it's not that way for the believer, amen? When you and I make the choice to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and to believe Him and be saved, when we've done that, we're saved for a lifetime. Amen? That means there's no retirement. Amen? On this earth. Our retirement is when we leave. It's out of this world. Amen? No other company I know bills every person in their company a mansion like you and I are going to know, or you and I are going to have. Amen? And so if you begin to consider some things, the Lord deals with us and enlists us on our own free will. And there is no earthly retirement from that, but there are benefits. Yes. Amen. Amen. There are blessings galore in serving the Lord Jesus Amen. Christ. So we consider some of these things. I want to say, second of all, understand that we have a commander, or there is a command in our life. Now, if you look physically at the branches of the service for the United States of America, every foot soldier or every commanding officer has someone else he's got to answer to. There's always someone up the ladder that's in command. Amen? And you may go all the way up to the five-star, the four-star, the five-star general, and he still has the president over his head. And you may say, but nobody's over the president. Oh, but a sovereign God is over the president. Amen? And every one of us today, we're under the command of somebody. Now, you may have heard the story where the young man who lived at his house and wouldn't respect the principles of his home and wouldn't respect the rules of his home and was always being chastised by his parents because he wouldn't keep his room clean and he wouldn't come home on time. And he had a real problem with authority in his home and could not keep the rules. And he said that to his parents, he said, I'm going to run away from home and I'm going to join the service. Oh, that's great. I can just imagine a boy that won't pick up the underwear in his room going off in the service and think he's going to get by Uncle Sam with something like that. Let me tell you what, there are rules and regulations, there are authorities and command that the military man is under, and the same thing is true this morning of the church. We have someone in authority over our lives. Amen? Now, if you'd be so kind as to back up to Mark chapter 8, I want to just point out three quick things about a soldier being in command or under authority of someone else in Mark chapter number 8. And we want to look at this physically and spiritually. In other words, when someone enlists in the service, they are immediately put in basic training. And it humbles oneself. It breaks a lot of things in their lives and teaches them other things in their lives and begins to prepare them for the future. I've been in the Lord's basic training for some time. I did not graduate with flying colors to begin with. I've been beat down and done more push-ups and more running and more chastisement than a body ought to have. But I'm glad, amen, for my commanding officer. Now when we look in Mark chapter 8, verse number 34. When he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words and this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. In verse 34, I see three things about the command or the basic training that you and I might go through. Read Jesus' own words. Whosoever will come after me, there's our enlistment, amen, our free will, our choice to join up in the Lord's army.
Amen.
Amen. Then we see basic training. The Bible says, let him deny himself. In basic training, there is self-denial. You will be taught to follow someone else's orders to the nth degree, wholly and completely. Now, I know how it is nowadays. We follow the rules if we want to. And we have some things we will do and some things we won't do. But my friend, when you join the army, you are to follow those commanding officers' orders entirely and completely. If you do not, there is going to be a problem. Amen. There will be correction. There will be some conduct change in your life coming. Amen. You will not do what you want to do. You will do what your superior officer says you will do. In other words, this is not Burger King. You cannot have it your way. And the same thing is true for the church today, for the believer. You have a commanding officer, and you must learn to deny yourself and follow his orders completely. Nothing else matters but what he says. Nothing else matters but what he says do. You must do. Hey, that is not what you want to do, or what you think ought to be done, or what your opinion is. It is completely and entirely up to him. And I challenge you today that in your basic training, you and I don't wholeheartedly follow the Lord's command. When he says, I want you to stand and testify, you sit there. When he says, I want you to go to the altar and pray, you sit there. When he says, I want you to call so-and-so and make up with them and forgive them or say I'm sorry or I want you to call them and encourage them, you debate about whether you should do it or not or whether it's the right time for you to do it or not. What is it you're waiting on? I say that you must deny yourself and your wants for his wants. Amen. Amen. We see self-denial. And second of all, we see sacrifice. The Bible says, let him take up his cross. Now, certainly our Savior took up his cross. Yes. And he sacrificed himself for us. And you and I, my friends, we're to offer sacrifice ourselves. What do you mean? Well, the Bible says in Galatians 2:20 that I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Amen. Hear me this morning. You and I are to present ourselves holy and acceptable unto God. A living sacrifice, which is your reasonable
service.
Amen. When you joined up, you said, I will do just what he says do, and when I don't, he has the authority in my life to correct me, to break me, to mold me, and to make me into what he wants me to be. And you ought to be willing to sacrifice yourself and deny yourself for His glory. That your commanding officer may be glorified. Amen. Look at what thirdly says, and follow me. There is your service. Understand that your service to Him will not always be rosy days. There will be hard days. There will be days of difficulty and strange situations. Now, somebody told one fellow that now that he's saved, everything's going to be all right. Spiritually speaking, that's true. But hear me, there's a lot of tough decisions and a lot of sacrifice that must be made. In other words, the serviceman has to leave his family behind. The serviceman had to take it when his commanding officer just chewed him out. And he just had to rear his chest out and his hands back and take it. He had to be willing, if he was in a war somewhere, my friend, to not have the comforts of home. You got to sleep on a sort of perfect sleeper last night. But a lot of the servicemen in this country were laying out on a battlefield in Iraq, sleeping there on the ground. Maybe it was cold, maybe it was hot. But they didn't have what you had last night. And have an opportunity to watch the ball game you watched. Because they sacrificed something. And they're willing to risk their life. Amen. They're willing to take a bullet that you and I might have freedom. Amen. And many have had their blood shed. That you and I might have the freedom to come in this church today and be able to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And how dare us sit in this place and not honor the men and women who've served this country and that have afforded us that freedom. Amen. How dare we not be thankful to a mighty God that has allowed us somewhere to sleep and a roof over our head. The wind could be blowing through this building this morning and it'd be 20 degrees. But God's allowed us to have it climate controlled. God's been good to us. And when we enlisted in His service, we need to follow Him wholeheartedly. Amen. There will be sacrifices to be made. Now that is our command. Go back with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. There's one verse I didn't read that just jumps out and grabs me. And I want to read it right now. 2 Timothy chapter 2, down here in verse number 19. Let's read verse 3 as well. Let's tie those together. Verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Can I say this before I read this next verse? When you're enduring hardness, and you're going through self-denial and sacrifice and service wholeheartedly to the Lord, and then times will be tough, just do one thing. Remember who you do it for. And what He's done for you. Verse 19, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. I want to say this morning that your commanding officer knows who you are. You get in a lot of branches of the military and they don't know the private from another private. They have no idea who they are. They don't know where they come from and they really don't care. They're just there to break them and mold them into being military men and military women for the service of this country. But our God, He knows everyone that's in service for Him. He understands your deficiencies. And He knows about your weaknesses. And He's willing to work with you and I anyway. I'm glad that I have a commanding officer that knows the infirmities and the failing of my infirmities that I go through. Yet He realizes in His call upon my life, He is not asking me to do something that I cannot do. But He knows I can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengthens me. And whatever I need, He will give. Amen. He doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. Amen. Now, number three this morning, I want you to think about the word confidence. A good soldier is not only a follower under the command of someone, but he's familiar with some things this morning. He has courage. He's familiar with things such as what? Well, in basic training, and after they get out of that, they may say to him, we want you to prepare for the battle. There is a war to fight. And you must prepare, make preparation for warfare. All right, let's see just a couple things this morning. First of all, understand that the soldier in the Army of the United States of America is supplied. He may not be given a CD player and his favorite CD to listen to, but he will have a uniform. He will have weaponry. He will have rations each and every day. And they're provided to him at no cost. You see, whoever you enlist for, they supply you. Hey, what good is a weapon without some bullets? And the United States even supplies the bullet to the private that he might have a bullet to put in his gun to fire at the enemy. You see, in preparation for warfare, the soldier is supplied by the country he enlists for. Think about that for just a minute. If you're saved today, glory to God, he has supplied you with all heaven can afford. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. Amen. By Christ Jesus. Understand something this morning. You've been supplied from heaven. He didn't say he's going to give you all your wants, but he'd meet all your needs. I'm glad we've been supplied today. And then I've got to thinking, not only is that private is he supplied, but he is taught something about the strategy of the enemy. What do you mean, preacher? Now the Bible says we are not ignorant of the devil's devices. Before they send off a woman or a man off into a war there, they will train them on the methods, the techniques the enemy may use. They'll even begin to disclose to you the terrain that you may encounter when you get there. I'm glad this morning God has given us his word, amen, and has given us the strategy of the enemy. He is looking to seek and destroy each and every one that he can. That's what the enemy's wanting to do. He's wanting to destroy your family. Wanting to tear your marriage apart. Wanting to destroy and kill your children. Boy, I'll stir you up in arms this morning. If you know the strategy of the enemy, his technique and his methods, he's a cheater. He's a destroyer. He's a killer. He wants to steal and from you, and he wants to murder you this morning. And I tell you what, you ought not to stand for it. You ought not to be in agreement with him. He teaches you about the terrain of the devil. There are just some places that you as a Christian ought not to go. Hey, some situations you ought not to put yourself into. Amen? Well, you say, well, I've got to go out there and I've got to fight in the devil's territory. Yeah, there's a time to go and a place to go, I understand. But sometimes when you go right into his very stronghold, you, myself, have got yourself in a position for a quick defeat. Make sure, my friend, you go where God says go. He discloses to us the strategy of the enemy. Number three, over here in Ephesians chapter 6. Turn back with me. Ephesians chapter 6. He wants us to be skillful with weaponry. Skillful with our weaponry. Now, they tell me that an infantryman, after he's gone through basic training and has been properly prepared, that he can take his weapon in the middle of the darkness of night and field strip that weapon down in seconds. And then tell him to put it back again in the dark with his eyes shut, and he can put it right back together. He's skillful with his weaponry. You and I, the Bible says here in Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 11, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. What is my weaponry? Verse 17. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. Turn there with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 3 and verse number 4. Something else about our weaponry. Preacher, what are you trying to say to me? I'm trying to say to you as a believer, as an enlisted man or woman for the Lord Jesus Christ, you must understand there's times of self-denial, there's times of sacrifice, there's times, my friend, of service. There's times where you're going to know that the supplies, you can have confidence in that He'll supply you and give you all your needs. There's going to be times there that you've got to know the strategy of the enemy, but you better be skilled with the Word of God. Yes. Didn't David say over there in the Psalms that I want to hide God's Word in my heart that I might not sin against Him? Yes. And you might be put in a situation where you don't have a chance to look that verse up. You better know it. You might be on your back and can't read it. You might be sick and just clinging on to life and clinging on to hope. But you're trusting Him. Amen. I'm telling you, get skillful with the Word of God. Preacher, if I'm going to preach a message, if I'm going to testify to somebody, if I'm going to witness to somebody, I got to take my Bible with me. I'm telling you what, amen. If you just have the Holy Ghost in your heart and you're skillful with the weaponry, amen, it'll come when you need it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, no, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You see, we need to get skillful with the weaponry God's given us. We don't spend enough time with it. I challenge a lot of you, we have a Bible drill program in the springtime here, and boy, it really thrills us to see these young people get up and quote these verses. And man, the thing that amazes you about it is, at your age, you can't quote half what they can. And there's a reason for that. It's not because you're old. Lack of concern. Lack of study. Lack of service to the Lord Jesus Christ. I ought to give an altar call right there.
Yes, sir. It's good, preacher.
Amen. Hey. We need to learn to be skillful with the Word of God. And when you get skillful with the Word, and when you know you're supplied from heaven, amen, you'll stand up with confidence. And you'll have courage. Oh, David, he took him them five smooth stones and a slingshot, and he ran out there to meet Goliath because he was confident in his God, and he was confident in the very weaponry that he had in his hand. And one stone, and down with the enemy. A giant over 9 feet tall. He didn't say, he's too big for me to fight. He said, he's too big for me to miss. And he dropped him under the hand of God. Amen. We ought to have confidence in headquarters, in our commanding officer. Let me go on. Back here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, I'm trying to move quickly now. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 4, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. And that tells me, point number 4, there will be combat. There will be conflict. You think, well, I'm saved now and everything's good. You will run headlong into the enemy. Amen. Guaranteed. What's your points, preacher? You better consider some things in this war. You've got a commanding officer in this war. You better have confidence in headquarters, amen, and take courage in him. But there will come a day of combat. The Bible says, no man that warreth. There is a battle to fight in, y'all.
Amen. Amen.
There is a cause this morning.
Yes.
There will be times, my friend, of toughness, times of hardness, times of when your conveniences are no longer surrounding you. You've gone through the hardships of training. You've been separated from your family. You realize the possibilities of being a casualty or the possibilities of becoming a prisoner of war. But do you realize there's a conflict to fight? And there's a combat going on, and there is a cause that you and I must stand up in. Get thinking about old Paul over here in chapter 4. Get thinking about it. He was a good soldier, my friend. He was a good soldier. You see, he was willing, he was trained and taught to fight for the glory of God. And he was willing to defend the honor of his country, the honor of his God. And he was willing to endure the rigors of battle without retreat. Hear me. The fight for the believer. Now, understand something. You may go off to World War I. It's over. You might have got sent to World War II. It's over. You might have went to Vietnam. It's over. You might have been in the Korean conflict. It's over. Might have been in Desert Storm. And now you're in Iraq right now. But one day, these wars will end. Amen? All these wars on earth is going to end. And I want to say this to you today as a believer. The fight for the believer, the war for the believer is never over. The enemy wants to come at you until he destroys you. This war won't be over until God calls you home. Watch here. Chapter number 4, verse number 6. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. You see that? I fought a good fight. Preacher, you ought not be telling us to fight. You ought not be teaching us to fight. No, not amongst yourself. There's been enough American soldiers killed by friendly fire. A lot of that goes on in the Baptist church. Friendly fight. No, there's an enemy out there that we're warring against. And there is a good fight. Keep your hand right here and go back to chapter 6 of 1 Timothy. What is the good fight Paul's talking about? He said, I fought the good fight. He's not saying he was looking to black some brother's eyes or bloody some brother's nose. No, he's fighting the good fight. There is a cause. There is an enemy. And he defines who the enemy is. It's the devil and the world and our flesh that comes against us that we must fight against. Watch here in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 12. What is the good fight he's talking about? He says, fight the good fight of faith. I'm telling you what, there's some of you this morning, you're struggling with faith. You're doing everything you can, but you're struggling to keep persevering and keep continuing on. He says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. You understand what he's saying? He says, I want you to stand against the flesh. I want you to sacrifice that. He said, I want you to stand against the world. Come out from among them and be ye separate. Amen. I tell you what, you see a serviceman, when he walks through, we ought to recognize who he stands for. Amen. Ought to be thankful for that. And also the good fight of faith, which he standeth for our Lord Jesus Christ, and the cause to see souls saved. Yes. There's a reason to keep your witness clean. Yes. There's a reason, amen, to keep your testimony right before others. Right. Now go back with me where we was over here in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He said, I've fought a good fight. But now watch, here's a comma. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. One, I can take you through dozens who've not kept the faith. Dozens who've denied the faith. Dozens who've turned out to be traitors. Oh, Judas was called to be a disciple, but he betrayed Jesus. Benedict Arnold was part of the revolution, amen. But he jumped on with the other side. Amen. Over there with the Taliban right now in Iraq, there's a man by the name of John Walker Lynn. He's an American, and he's found fighting with the Taliban Kurds. Well, I hate that stuff. I can't stand it. That's a bunch of junk to betray. Oh, ain't it a shame to have someone come into the Bethel Baptist Church who ought to be willing to serve here and stand for God and stand for the church, whose only motive to be here this morning is to spy and find fault and to criticize someone else that's here? Let me tell you what. When you get to heaven, if that's been your attitude, he won't reward you for that. He won't look and say, I'm going to put so many stars by your name because you came to so many services. He's going to say, you come with the wrong motive. You'd been better off staying at the house. Well, preacher, then I will. Fine. Hey, amen. I'm trying to help you. Now, I want to tell you something here. In verse number 8, he gets into our last point. He's crowned. If a good soldier is faithful, he is rewarded for his conduct. He is rewarded for his service. He says, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, he says, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Preacher, what are you trying to tell me? I'm trying to tell you, in service for the Lord Jesus Christ that you've enlisted in, he supplied you with all you need. Amen. He showed you about the tactics of the enemy. And he's told you that there will be days of hardness and toughness. But keep pressing on. There's a payday one day. There is a day where we'll be crowned. You realize there are many soldiers who, in the face of utter defeat and in the face of some enemy, amen, that they were one day, they won that war, and one day they came out of that war and they received an honor. They were pinned with some medal. One day, our commanding officer will take out the most splendid crown, and he will put it up on your head and say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Yesterday, I'd gone to see my parents. I was driving in their car. They've got one of them navigation systems. I hadn't really got to play with one of them real good. And so my dad linked it up from where we was going from the pizza restaurant back to the house. And the little lady on the navigation would say, "Turn left here and turn right there." So one time, just for spite, I took a wrong turn, knowing a little bit better shortcut. And she said, "You missed your turn. Please turn around." Well, I just kept going. So quickly she recharted the course. And as I pulled right there in front of their driveway, it said this. It said, "The journey has ended. Navigation complete." I looked at my dad and I said, "Dad, boy, I'm glad when I get to heaven, I won't have to hear her voice talk like that. Navigation complete. I'm going to hear one who's going to step out and say, 'Welcome home, thou good and faithful servant.'" He's going to say, "A job well done if we've kept the faith and endured to the end." Hallelujah. I have one who guides me better than any GPS system this world has ever known. He leads me each and every day. I want to close and say this. You've heard me tell it before, but I feel led. I got to tell it this morning. Over on Corregidor, 1942, World War II, General Douglas MacArthur fighting there in the Philippines to try to keep them free and try to go ahead and make sure that we had a beachhead there and a landing place, which would be a supply line to go ahead and attack the Japanese Imperial Army. But my friends, we were losing that war. And General MacArthur, after the battle had got so heated, he was ordered by President Roosevelt to get on a PT boat and head off towards Australia. Brother MacArthur, General MacArthur, he did not want to accept that order. He wanted to stay with his men and fight. Roosevelt said, "I demand that you get on board that PT boat. You're too valuable to us. You do get on board that PT boat and you leave like I've told you to do." And being the good soldier that he was, even when it didn't make sense, he obeyed and got on board the PT boat. But before he left that beachhead, he said, "I shall return." Now that's just words of a man. He could promise that, but he could have let him down. He could have been killed before he ever made it after that PT boat. But he got on board that boat and he left. And he put Lieutenant General Jonathan Wainwright in charge of the United States troops there on Corregidor. And he got on board that PT boat, and MacArthur left. And Lieutenant General Wainwright fought the war valiantly, very bravely, but they lost. Many of them were wounded and killed. Many of them were taken as prisoners of war. And they would go off behind enemy lines and they'd be tortured. They were belittled. They were slapped through the face. They were stripped naked. They were paraded around as trophies. They were demoralized. They were victimized. You and I have got it made to what they had to go through and endure. For 3 years, some of you have gone through something for 2 weeks and you're ready to quit. For 3 years, Lieutenant General Jonathan Wainwright heard them say about how America had lost the war and how he's demoralized. And I tell you what, he laid in that prisoner of war camp. When all of a sudden President Roosevelt called MacArthur and said, "It's time to go back. We need that beachhead won back." And MacArthur got on board the boat and he came and he landed there and he sent some scouts. He said, "I want you to find that prisoner of war camp. And I want you to find my Lieutenant General Jonathan Wainwright if he's still alive. I want you to find him and report back to me." And the scouts went out looking. And they found a prisoner of war camp and they broke through enemy lines. And they came up underneath the very hut Lieutenant General Jonathan Wainwright was in. And by code began to tell him that the next morning America would launch an assault upon the Japanese Imperial Army on Corregidor that next day. And I want to tell you what, upon hearing that news and the return of MacArthur and the supply lines that were going to be reopened up, Lieutenant General Jonathan Wainwright took courage. He got up. He took his uniform that had been tattered and torn. He began to lay on it all night and press it. He began to, as best he could, take the brass buttons and begin to repolish them for 3 years they had faded away. He began to prepare himself for the next morning that he would meet his commanding officer, he believed. He got up and got himself ready in full military uniform. The Japanese army, true story, came and they always opened that little window into the little door to his hut to give him that old nasty food if they try to feed him one ration a day. And this time that Lieutenant General Jonathan Wainwright slammed that stuff back in their face and they looked through and saw him. And they began to talk in that Japanese dialect, wondering if this man was on a suicide mission. He's getting ready to kill himself. When all of a sudden, on the sandy beach, they heard the weaponry begin and the thunder of the bombs going off. And quickly they ran down to begin to fight against America. But God had blessed her, and she began to move forward. They ended up breaking up that prisoner of war camp, and they defeated the Japanese during that week. And my friend, by the end of the war, we know that God, not America, God had blessed America with an opportunity to be the victors in that war. And when Emperor Hirohito was ordered as the enemy aboard the USS Missouri in Tokyo and signed an unconditional surrender, MacArthur said, "Go call my Lieutenant General, Jonathan Wainwright, who was so mistreated and was tortured for 3 years. Call him forward. I want him to watch the unconditional surrender of the Japanese Imperial Army." He came out in uniform that day and he watched the enemy sign over unconditional surrender. I want you to know that that day that Lieutenant General Jonathan Wainwright was decorated. He was crowned with a distinguished medal upon his uniform there. And I want to say to you, my friends, one day we're going to be called home. Amen. And we're going to watch the devil.
Yeah.
He bows his knee.
Right.
And he says, "You're Lord of lords and King of kings."
Right.
And then watch our Savior pick him up by the seat of his breeches and throw him off in the lake of fire where he'll be forever.
Right.
I'm telling you what, I'm on the winning side.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
My commanding officer's already won the battle. Amen.
Right.
And the war for us still right now, we're engaged in conflict, but one day the war will be over.
Amen.
And we will be recognized and crowned for distinguished service if we've been faithful. So church, I don't know where you are today, but as a little old scout of the Lord Jesus Christ, I crawl up underneath your hut and I tell you that Jesus is coming again. You prepare yourself. Press the uniforms, polish the buttons, prepare the praise, amen. Jesus is coming again.
Amen.
Be encouraged and be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Stand with me this morning. All heads bowed, nobody looking on the surface. I want to encourage you to endure. I want to encourage you to press on. Someone come to instruments quickly this morning. I feel like I need to say to you this morning, thank you for serving the Lord. Thank you for serving Him. Thank you for being faithful. Thank you for giving. Thank you for engaging in this conflict and being the soldier that you are. Glory to God. But I want to tell you what, be faithful. Continue to serve Him. Old devil's coming at you with an assault to try to get you out of church. He's coming at you with an assault to try to get your family to break up. He's coming at you with an assault to try to get your little child that you've been training and you've been teaching the precepts of the Word of God, but the devil's coming to give them some offer. Are they prepared? Are you prepared as a parent? Are you as a grandparent? Have you prayed for them as you should? Church, I want to tell you what. The enemy's just outside these walls this morning and he's lurking, looking for somebody to devour. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to be faithful? Are you going to endure? Are you prayed up? Are you skillful with the weaponry he's given you today? The supply lines are open. Access is available. What will you do? Your head's bowed, nobody look. Is there anybody this morning? Say, "Preacher, I want to get in that altar this morning. And I want to, right in this place, serve my commanding officer. I want to bow my knee. Thank him for what he's done. And I want to bow my knee and ask his help. Well, I've not endured with hardness as I should. Tell you, preacher, I'm not skillful with the weaponry like I ought to be. I want to be more faithful of things of God. I want them to be able to say to me one day when the navigation's over, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's important to me this morning, preacher. That's so important. Would you come? Would you come this morning? Glory to God. Bless His holy name. I'm glad I'm on the win side.
Amen.
Aren't you?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. You saw those servicemen today that stood. If you have an opportunity to, make sure and shake their hands. Thank them for their enlistment. They might be a Christian or two in this place today. They've meant something to you. Their testimony, their prayers, been a blessing to you.
Amen.
Y'all go to them today and tell them, thank you for serving God. And thank you for standing with me when the battle was raging. Appreciate one another. Encourage one another. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's bow our heads.
Brother Seth McClellan, what about you dismissing us this morning, Brother Seth?